for us, for your glory ultimately. And we praise you. We continue to praise you. You are the King of Kings. We lift you up in this place. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
The Lord's table, the communion this morning. And we've been exalting Jesus, his birth. Now we want to celebrate and give thanks for his death and his resurrection through the communion. Go ahead and invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare for the communion. And as we remember, as we give thanks to the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, who entered the world 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, then gave his life for us on the cross, and rose again, we want to remember that, give thanks, celebrate. For those who have trusted, placed their faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and of your sins, we invite you to partake of the communion with us this morning. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ and been baptized, if you have not yet trusted in Jesus of Nazareth as your Savior and been baptized, we ask that you allow the elements to pass before you as they are distributed, but also to participate in this moment of focus, worship, and remembrance on Jesus Christ. For all of us, let us take this time, this moment, to give praise, thanksgiving, and worship to God in our hearts as we reflect on Jesus and what he has done for us. reading from Matthew 26, verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth, after he was born, lived a perfect life, had his Last Supper with his disciples. Taking bread, he put it before them and told them that this was his body, which was broken for them. And to eat and take of it in remembrance of him. And so we today, as believers and followers of Jesus, we remember him. We obey him as we take of the bread. And so together as the body of Christ, in remembrance of his body, which was crushed, which was broken for our iniquities, let's take of the bread together. After supper, verse 27 tells us that, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so, in remembrance of the blood of Jesus, which was shed, which was spilled for the punishment of our sins, so that we could be redeemed and free from the penalty, the power, and one day the presence of sins. At your own discretion, take of the cup in remembrance of Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. And Lord, in response to the mercies of God, may we offer up ourselves as a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to you, who is our spiritual service of worship. We are forever grateful for God the Son, Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh, died, and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins and our righteousness, that we could live and serve and worship you for all of eternity. And we pray in his name. Amen. Do you ever get tired of the old, same old, same old, same old? I do. And so just this morning, just, you know, shake things up a little bit, have a little bit of variety. Going to start by having a little bit of a different background, just to, you know, change things up a little bit. Gonna start the sermon. I thought about preaching from the back of the sanctuary just to kind of shake things up a little bit. But I'm just going to be here with the Christmas tree as the background because, you know, we all need a little variety. And as we're in the Christmas season, sometimes the same old starts to lose its meaning. You know, if we see another Christmas ornament or some more poinsettias or another Christmas tree, or we sing jingle bells, jingle bells, you know, we sing that one more time, where it just kind of gets old. And you know, if I have to go to one more Christmas party, I mean, gosh, you know, how many white elephants can I buy, you know? And got to do another shopping list, and after a while, it's just been there, done that, same old, and it starts to kind of get stripped of its meaning. You know what I'm saying? And maybe you feel like that with your life sometimes. Maybe you feel like your life is just the same old, the routine, and you're kind of wondering, maybe even this morning you're seeking, and you're not sure what this life is all about, and what is truth, and what is ultimate reality. Or maybe you have made some confession about God, and yet you're in here this morning and you're wondering, you know, what about all this busyness, this Christmas chaos or this end of the year chaos? I mean, why am I, you know, busting my buns, excuse my language there for just a little bit, but why am I working so hard to finish these projects week after week and end of the year? And why am I working so hard? The finals are coming up. You know, what's the point? What's the meaning of all this chaos? I mean, why did I take the SAT yesterday? You know, what's the point of all of this? And as we're in this Christmas chaos, we kind of lose the meaning and the significance of this time. And we want to approach Christmas in a meaningful way, in a fresh way that also gives us some purpose and truth and meaning and direction to our whole lives, to some of these ultimate questions of life and why we're doing all that we're doing. Well, if that's you this morning, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to have a series focusing on Christmas. But we want to do it so that we approach it with a fresh perspective. We're going to look at the first 18 verses of John's prologue. How can we approach this season in a fresh way that will bring order, meaning, purpose, truth, direction to both this Christmas season, but also to our lives? We're going to have a trilogy called The Rise of Jesus. And so there will be a certain movie theme that's sprinkled throughout this series and this message this morning. And this morning, we're starting on episode 1. So turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to go through the first 5 verses of the book of John. Episode 2 and 3 will cover us through verse 18. And this morning, we want to look at a new hope. A new God is the title of our sermon. First 5 verses in the book of John. And John starts off by telling us, in the beginning was the Word. Now, John does not include the birth narrative of Jesus, like Mark does not. Only Matthew and Luke do that. But John actually takes us before, BC. He takes us with this phrase, in the beginning, conjures up in our mind Genesis 1:1, right? Which says what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we're actually taken all the way back in our minds to the very beginning of the universe. However, I think probably right here, we're going even further back than that. What we have here is in the beginning, before even the acts of creation in Genesis 1:1, what we're talking about here is eternity past. And John starts off his gospel by telling us, in the beginning was the Word. Now, we need to get a little understanding of what this word is. So this word, in the beginning was the Word. It's very prominent in these first few verses. This word is the Greek word logos. So in the beginning was the logos. And John was writing probably to a combination of a Greek-Roman, a Greco-Roman Jewish audience. And this concept of the logos in the Greek mind was very high. It had this sense of ultimate reality, reason. You know, the Greeks, they really liked reason. And it had this sense that this logos holds the whole universe together, kind of like the Star Wars force. You know, it holds everything together. So it was very high, very prominent in the Greek mind. Now, in the Hebrew mind, this word was also very prominent. It was the Hebrew word dabar. And by the word, the dabar of God, we had the power in creation. Genesis 1:1, many other parts of the Bible. We also have the word of God as his revelation, revealing, displaying who God is and his will, his word, his plans, his purposes. And the word of God also delivers. So with this concept of the word, we are almost synonymous with God when we're talking about the word of God. And John here is saying that in the beginning, there was this word. Now, later on, we know who he's talking about, right? Who's he talking about when he says the word? He's talking about Jesus. We can see that clearly in the passage, right? So all that is wrapped up in the Logos, ultimate reality, creation, that which holds all things together, revelation, deliverance, all that's wrapped up on the word. When we put that on Jesus, guess what we're saying about Jesus? And John continues with his introduction, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. This has the sense of intimacy, personal relationship with God. This is what the Word has. Now, this is very significant, and I think I've told some of you before that I was there in the beginning, right? Pastor Way was there. I was there when I saw Star Wars, the first one, in the theater. That's right. I was there in the beginning. And you guys look at me and you say, man, are you serious? Pastor Way, you're so old. You're saying that, but you're all saying, man, you are awesome. That is miraculous. You actually saw Star Wars. And I was there in the beginning. Now, what if I told you in the beginning, Sam Wang was with Pastor Way and he saw Star Wars 2 also in the theater? You would be saying, man, Sam's old too. But you'd also be saying, man, that guy Sam Wang, he must be pretty cool. Because he's hanging with Pastor Way. I mean, they go see movies together. They go eat at Starbucks together. I mean, he hangs out with cool. Then Sam is cool too. Well, that's what's going on here. He's saying the word was there in the beginning, and he was with God. He's got a personal relationship with God. And lastly in this verse, he tells us, just in case there's any confusion, let me just spell it out very clearly in Greek. The Word was God. Make no mistake, the Word was God. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses would tell you that's not the correct translation. If you read their new translation, they have, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Okay, because they deny the Trinity, the deity of Jesus Christ. But if you know your Greek grammar, as Mr. Colwell does, and you can Google it, Colwell's rule, you will find out that even though in the original Greek that it doesn't have the definite article, that the correct translation is as we see it here. If you know your Greek grammar, that it's not the word was a God, it's that the word was God. You can look it up. So friends, how can we approach this Christmas in a fresh way, which will bring order, meaning, truth, direction to our lives? Let us let Jesus rise. We want to experience the rise of Jesus. Elevate Jesus as God because he is God. Now, I realize that some in here this morning have not yet got to that point. And I want to encourage you intellectually, whatever you need to do apologetically, to keep researching, keep seeking and searching. And I hope one day you can come to the realization that Jesus truly is God. For the rest of us, I think we can get there. I think most of us, you know, we grew up in Sunday school. We've been taught our whole lives, and we believe we can intellectually affirm that Jesus is God. In fact, give me a show of hands. How many of you believe that Jesus is God? He's the Son of God. See, I got the Sunday school crowd in here, right? You believe that intellectually, but I want to give you a little college term that I learned when I was college. I thought it was so cool. I believe that you and me might be, here it is, practical atheists. Have you ever heard that term? I thought it was so cool when I heard it first time. I've never heard that term before. Practical atheist. Okay, what is that? It's intellectually, we say Jesus is God, right? But in our lives, what do we say? Man, you know God. I'm God, right? Now, I'm going to coin a new term. This is copyrighted. I never heard it before. I just thought of it. I don't think we're practical atheists. I think we are practical Hindus. All right, you got it? Why is that? Why is that? You know what the Hindus believe? Oh, yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord. Yeah, I'm going to put Jesus right here on my God shelf, right next to Brahma and Shiva and Vishnu. Yeah. Jesus is Lord, and so is all these other guys. And see, we do that same thing, right? I mean, I don't have Brahma and Vishnu and Shiva competing, but I have other things. I have old gods. Even though I've already believed in Jesus, some of those old gods creep up. And friends, we need a new God. We need a new hope, and we need a new God. So elevate Jesus as God because he is God. Now, who are some of my gods? Well, I like the God of comfort. How about you? You know, I like the God of the approval of others. I worship some of my fantasy basketball guys, right? Football. How about you? What are some of your, who's on your God shelf? Is it also comfort? Is it also the approval of others? Maybe it's the almighty dollar. Maybe it's your performance that we're worshiping. Maybe it's social media. And so right now, I want us to affirm and elevate Jesus as God. So turn to your spouse. Okay, if you're not next to your spouse, you turn to your friends and you tell them, you are not God. Jesus is God. And you turn to your friends because you're worship, you know, you're wanting the approval of others. Then you say, you are not God. Jesus is God. Now, what, you got your wallet? What are we going to do? We're going to drink out the dollar bill. Well, I got a $5 bill. All right. You are not God. Can you do that? Anybody got any money on you? You are not God. Jesus is God. All right. So, and one practical application is that in your free time, when you go home, some of us have free time. We're going to have free time this afternoon. You know, Whose word are you going to be following as you go home and you try to learn what to do or decide what to do with your free time? I want to encourage you, one application in your free time, ask Jesus what he wants you to do in your free time. And I have done that this last week. When I got home, I come home and, you know, I'm tempted to kind of listen to the voice, the word of my wife, you know, or think what might please her. You know, it does say that in 1 Corinthians 7 that the husbands do try to please their wives. And, you know, maybe I'll just think, I need to do the dishes. Or maybe I'll think of my own voice and I'll, I want to eat a snack. Or I want to get on my phone, check my email. But what I've started to do is I ask Jesus, what do you want me to do? That's the word. I want to listen to the word of the word, right? The word of the word, okay? And so sometimes when I've done that, it is washing the dishes or, you know, pleasing my wife. But sometimes I've gone out and I've taken Gabriel out to do a few basketball drills because I thought that's what Jesus wanted me to do. Or I went out and I ran for 30 minutes on my jog. I saw HD, you know, driving home from work or something like that because I thought that's what Jesus wanted me to do. So, friends, elevate Jesus as God. And what a practical application is when you're free time, ask Jesus, ask God, what does Jesus want me to do? Now, moving on, verse 2 says that he was in the beginning with God, just to make sure that we're no mistake. We're repeating that the word was in the beginning and he was with God. And verse 3 tells us all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Another way to translate this is all things have come into being through him, positively, negatively, literally. It's not one thing has come into being that has come into being. Okay, sorry, that's a little, I guess the Greeks, they kind of like to phrase things like that. But that's what it's saying, that the word Jesus was the agent in creation. And so, friends, how can we approach Christmas with a fresh way to add order, meaning, purpose, direction to our lives? Let us elevate Jesus as God because he's God. Let's elevate Jesus because he's the creator. He's the creator. And we see this all throughout the New Testament. In fact, in Colossians, it talks about how by him, and again, it's talking about clearly about Jesus, all things were created, heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Everything, all things were created through him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's that Greek logos. It's that Star Wars force, right? Hebrews, these last days, he spoke to us through his son. He created the whole world. And so John's audience needed to know that what they were looking for was Jesus, that he was the one that could hold all of life together. And so we too, as we seek to approach Christmas, every time you see a Christmas ornament, every time you see a wreath, every time you see a Christmas tree, every time you see a poinsettia, every time you see a Christmas present, you can think, wow, Jesus is God because he is the creator. And so let's go back to our God shelf. What's on your Hindu God shelf? Well, you know, What you might want to do is so you see your spouse is sitting right next to you. You know, sometimes your spouse is God. He's the boss. She's the boss. Whatever, however you want to say it. You look at your spouse and you tell them, you are not God. Okay, and then you say, Jesus is God. Or do you look at your friends, because, you know, some of us live for the approval of others. And then you say, you know what? God created you. Can you say that? God created you. You say that to your friends, to your spouse, to your boss, to your teacher. And then we can do that with money too. You know, we bring out that $5 bill. And, you know, we're not really worshiping money, right? We're worshiping what money can bring to us. Security, comfort, iPhone 11s, right? But we say, you know what? Who created the iPhone? Tim Cook, right? All those engineers at Apple. And then we say to Tim Cook and all those Apple engineers, God created you, engineers. So, you know, who gets the one up? And, you know, some of us, we got competition with, our orchestra or band directors. And, you know, what they say, their opinion, that's like the word of the Lord. Well, you go up to your orchestra director. Now, I'm not saying to be rebellious. You know, 90% of the time what they ask you to do is the word will of God. But sometimes it's not. So at least in your mind, you say, orchestra director, God created you. And you, why don't you go up and tell them that tomorrow at school? Say, hey, Mr. So-and-so, God created you. Just say that. Hey, try it. Just tell me how it goes, all right? So, now, lastly, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So, worship, elevate Jesus because he is God. Elevate Jesus because he's the creator. And elevate Jesus as God because he is life and light. Now, when John is using life here, he's probably referring to that creation life, which God in creation infused life into all of us, infused life into all living beings. But do you know that in this book of John, this word Zoe, did you know that's the word for life? And so anybody know a friend named Zoe? That's what you're calling them. You're calling them life. Hello, life. Hello, Zoe. Hello, Zoe. This word is used 36 times in the book of John. By comparison, in the book of Matthew, Zoe is only used 7 times. So it's a prominent theme in the book of John. And most of the time, almost every time, if you look it up, Zoe in John talks about eternal life. Eternal life. So this is the answer to our ultimate questions in life. Now, the Jews and the Hebrews and the Greeks, they were probably a lot like you and me. They probably had a lot of questions. But they just wanted to have a simple life, probably. They just wanted, you know, do some good fishing, do some good carpentry, eat a good meal, get along with my wife, get along with my children. But they also had problems, most likely, and they too wondered, what is the answers? What are the solutions to sickness and disease and war and death? And the only one, what John is telling us, who can give us those answers of life and eternal life is the Word. And so, friends, elevate. Let Jesus rise. Let's experience this Christmas. Live the saga. Live the saga and let Jesus rise. Let him rise because he's God. He's the creator. He's light. He's life. Now, for life, you got to make sure that Jesus is that for you first. Is he truly your life? Is he truly your savior? The one who's died on the cross for your sins and risen again for your righteousness. If not, trust in him today. But if he is, make sure that he's that life for you. And then let him be that light. Let him be the light for yourself. A lamp unto your feet. A light unto your path. Show you how to have good relationships. Now, he's also going to show you how to suffer. We've been learning in Mark. But show you what true life is. And then show others. Be a light. Be his light. And so this last week, I had the opportunity to, I was up at 2 a.m. one morning, and I tried to read the DTS magazine to help me fall asleep, but it didn't do it. So at 4 a.m., I read some of my emails, and I saw that I was charged $30 more for my internet this next month. So I got on the chat. And I say, hey, what's up? What's up with this? You know, and we got it. We got it knocked down to $20, only an increase of $10 a month. But at the end of the conversation, Pankaj asked me, he said, your satisfaction is all I need. And I told him, God bless you. And then he says, anything else I can assist you with? And I said, no, thank you. But if you have the opportunity, I would recommend reading the Bible, several good versions online. Okay, now, he says, especially as we approach Christmas, he says, perfect, I will surely read. It is a pleasure to chat with a customer like you. And then I says, thank you, Pankaj. I misspelled his name. And he says, you know, thank you for being a royal customer. I said, what ethnicity? What country are you? He says, I'm from India. I'm chatting with, I don't have to be, I can reach the nations right here on my chat, right? You can too. Because I'm trying to be India, Hindu religion. Thank you. Which city? And then, okay, God bless you. And then he starts to ask me, hey, you know about the Golden Temple? No. Oh, great religious temple. You can look all this up online. I did that night, and it's really interesting. Appreciate your time. I said, okay. Yes, and wait, next one. Next slide. All right, so then we keep going, and we're saying, I recommend you start reading the Bible. Start with the book of John. And I said, I kind of just add a little flavor. Have you ever heard of The Rise of Skywalker, the new Star Wars movie? And he says, sure, definitely, I will implement on this. And thanks for suggesting this. I think he's talking about reading the book of John, not about the Star Wars. I said, I'll be preaching a series called The Rise of Jesus. And then he says, okay. I'm so glad to hear about that. He's pretty supportive of my preaching to you guys about the rise of Jesus, okay? All right. But I just kind of want to find out, are you a Star Wars fan? I said, actually, I'm not watch movies very much. I say, okay, that's okay. The Bible is far better. Okay? I know the Hebrew. So, I mean, the Hindu mind, can't just say God. You have to say Jesus. You do the same thing with the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons. You need to say, worship Jesus. You know, so I start changing God bless you to Jesus bless you. Okay, thank you. You too. All right, it tells me how to, end the conversation and all this. And I close it. Jesus bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Wei. So, friends, worship the Lord. Elevate Jesus because he's life and light. And capitalize on the Christmas season. Hey, you can just use that chat with your friends at school. Hey, are you a Star Wars fan? Hey, my pastor, he's preaching a sermon called The Rise of Jesus. You know, and then you just get it into it. Get into the conversation there. So, friends, today we're trying to learn how we can approach Christmas in a fresh way to bring meaning, order to our lives. Let us elevate Jesus as God because he's God. He's the creator. He's light and he's life. Now, the universe was in disarray because of the evil emperor and his minion, Darth Vader. It was under the whole control of the Sith Lords. However, there was a new hope. That new hope was Luke Skywalker. And as Luke Skywalker was trained by Obi-Wan Kenobi in the ways of the Force, he was able to turn his father, Darth Vader, back to the light, overcome the evil emperor, and restore order to the universe. Well, friends, we have something exponentially, infinitely better than the Force. We have the Logos. Elevate Jesus as God. Because he is God, he is the creator, he is life, he is light. Lord, this Christmas, help us to live the saga. Help us to elevate Jesus in our lives. And all throughout today, the day,